I am Miss Bonnie's ambassador today. And I still hold the record for the most times a male has taught in this class. I have the record. I don't know what I'm up to, but somewhere between 5 and 10, I think. Are we good there on sound? Tanya? Okay. Good, good, good. So if anybody comes in here like somebody named John or Dylan or one of those guys come in here and try to say that they've taught more than I have, don't listen to them. It's me. I'm number one. Number uno, right? All right, so I started praying about what to speak on this morning, and the first thing that came to my mind, it was different subject. You know, I usually have two or three subjects that I teach on, but this is a little different, so we'll see where this goes, but I think you'll be blessed. It was very specific, so it was for me. You know, obviously when you are spoken to teach, usually it's for yourself, but this was very specific. I had no doubt that this is what I was supposed to speak on. Sometimes it's just like, what in the world, Lord, am I going to teach, you know, and it just, you don't know until do you know, right? Right. Well, this was very, very quick, came to me very, very fast, but I have not shared or spoken on this subject before, but a little different, but you're going to be blessed, right? Amen? Okay, good. So we'll kind of just kind of get started into this, but obviously as Christians, you know, Christians, Christ-like, right? Be like Christ. That's what we're striving to be, right? We're representing Christ. We are the what of Christ? The body of Christ in the earth, right? We're representing Christ here in earth. We are reflecting his light, right? His light. He was the light of the world. Now he's made us the light of the world because we are in the world, right? And to reach the world, our life needs to be attractive to unbelievers. Would you agree with that? I mean, it needs to be. To reach the world has to look at the believers, the church, and say, hey, they got something I want. You know, they got peace that I want. They got joy that I want. They've got something that I need. They have a security, right? We have security. We know where we're going to spend eternity, right? The world doesn't, okay? So we have something that they want, and we need to be attractive to unbelievers in that regard if we're going to win them over. So, and if you've received Jesus as your Savior, I mean, we are serving the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, right? We win. We've all read the book in here, right? I'm not going to teach you anything that you don't know already this morning. You all are seasoned believers, okay? You could come here and teach this message to me, right? But it's good to go over things and refresh things and just hear it again, right? Just hear it again and just kind of get a refresher and a reminder because you forget, right? When you leave here, you'll forget half the things I say, will you? Oh, good. That's a good answer. I was waiting for that. Yeah, we'll forget everything you said, Wes. I was just waiting for that. Because I led you right in there, but you stopped. That's good. I got another test coming for you. I'm going to get you. But Jesus won. He's the victory, right? He is our victory, right? We're not powerless. I mean, we have the knowledge, especially us, and learning here what we learned at RCC, we understand the authority, we understand the power that we have as a believer through the Word of God, right? We're not powerless. We are the light of the world, right? But if I'm depressed, and I look depressed, and I got this scowl on my face. This, my resting face is a scowl. Are we attracting unbelievers with that? Are we letting what's on the inside spring forth and show other people? If we're afraid to talk to people, how are we ever going to reach someone? Right? Oh, I'm not talking to you. We had a little discussion before, Kim and I. We're all growing. We're all growing, right? If I'm moping around, always talking about, or always talking about, but more importantly, always thinking about and dwelling on how bad things are in my life, how much pain I'm in, how I feel sorry for myself, if we're always walking around with those thoughts and that demeanor, how are we going to win the lost for Jesus? That's our purpose, isn't it? Yes. To win the lost for Jesus. A light is not dim. A light is not dark. A light is bright. A light is reaching out. Okay? Is exuding something. A light bulb, you know, when you look into a light, you can't hardly look in that these lights for very long because it hurts your eyes almost, right? That's what a light is doing. Okay? A light is exuding something that when you have the scowl on your face and your body language and you look defeated and depressed, that's not what a light is doing, right? A light needs to be the opposite of that. So what I want to talk to you today about is your countenance. And that was the word. That was the very specific thing, Holy Spirit, when I asked, what do you mean to speak on, Lord? It wasn't that long ago, just a couple days ago. What do you want to speak on? It was countenance. And I always like to try to make like a rhyming title. So it doesn't really rhyme, but it has a nice little roll off the tongue. Considering your countenance. Everybody write that down. All you good note takers, they give you the title, boom, right at the top of the page. Considering your countenance, right? So you can turn to Genesis 4. We'll start almost at the very beginning of the Bible. Genesis 4, considering your countenance. Your countenance. Genesis 4, verse 4, talking about Cain and Abel. Remember that story? Everybody knows that story. Abel also brought up of the firstborn of his flock. This is King James Version. I have a hard time switching translations. I love to read those, but when I go to study, I'm just back to King James because that's what I know. So, King James Version. Abel also brought up the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he did not respect Cain and his offering. Cain was very angry about that. And his countenance fell. Verse 6. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you. But you should rule over it. Now, we know how the story goes, right? And we're not dealing with that. Most of us are not dealing with going and killing a brother, right? Or a sister, okay? But sin lies at the door. Why was that? Because Cain was angry. And his countenance showed it, right? His countenance had fallen. Let me ask you, just take a little inventory of ourselves. And I'm asking myself this as well. I've asked myself this several times in the last couple of days. What happened to make your countenance fall? What is it in your past? What is it in your present? In your future, maybe. What is it that makes your countenance fall? Fall, right? You know what I'm talking about? I say countenance fall. You're frowning. You're worried. Okay, it shows on your outward appearance. You know what happens to make your countenance fall? What things in my life have I let rob me of the joy that God has promised? Ask yourself that. Write it down if you have to, because we want to look at that. I looked up countenance in the dictionary, I mean, I have an idea what it means, and so does everyone else have an idea what it means. But in Webster, one of the things it said was the face as an indication of mood, emotion, or character. Did any of those words right there stick out to anybody in here? I don't know. I underlined mood because you can have joy, but you get in moods, right? Everybody gets in moods. You wake up in a mood. You know, if something happens, you get in a bad mood, right? Think about that word mood. Proverbs 15:13. I'll read this to you. A joyful heart makes a cheerful face. This is actually in a different translation. I forgot to write that down. A joyful heart makes a cheerful face, but when the heart is sad, the spirit is broken. I think it seems like I remember someone else in the New Testament talking about cheer. Oh yeah, that was Jesus. Be a good cheer, right? He didn't say, well, when you feel like being of good cheer, let it show on your face. No, he said, you got to make a decision, right, to be of good cheer. Because why? Because stupid people is going to ruin it for you, right? They're going to put you in a bad mood, right? No, that's not right. It's your decision, okay? People are going to do their thing. And usually, people is the reason that we get in bad moods. It's the effect of people, right? Or there's an external factor. But Jesus said, in this life, you'll have tribulation. Be of good cheer, though. I have overcome the world, right? And then you remember the scripture in Psalms? It's like a song in Psalms. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, happy and you know it, then your face will surely show. Yeah, remember that in Psalms? Remember that one in Psalms? Yeah, you do? No? That was my second test for you. No, that's not in Psalms. No. It's in the book of Hezekiah. Let's turn over that. Book of Hezekiah. Everybody turn over there real quick. No, that's not a book either. Okay, that's my third test. I got you on that one. Gotcha. There is no Hezekiah. Okay, there is no book of Hezekiah. Somebody said, I just passed it. Oh, your book of Hezekiah just fell out, Kathy. More than Bible. mine's the same way. Yeah. No, but there's something about that little tune, that little kid song, right? If you're happy and you know it, then your face will surely show it. If you're happy, your face will surely show it. So sometimes you gotta notify your face that you're happy. You know, face, I'm happy, right? Your face will surely show it if you're happy and you know it. As Christians, we got a lot to be happy about. We got a lot to be joyful for, right? We know we win. But let's talk about the things. Let's spend a few moments here and talk about the things that could put us and derail us and put us in that bad mood or a bad attitude. Let's all get in a bad mood real quick here together. We'll spend about a few minutes and get a bad attitude real quick. Just kind of remind ourselves what it feels like. No? Okay. But it's usually like external factors that come at you, right? I mean, you feel disappointment, you feel anxious, you feel sadness, you know, anger, you know, people at Walmart, you know, maybe you're jealous. You see something that you think you should have, you know, and you're not getting it fast enough, you know. So it's jealousy. Yeah, those people at Walmart, those people need Jesus, right? So it's our job to reflect the light in Walmart. Amen. People can ruin it for you, though. But it's not always people. It's not always people. Sometimes it's on the inside. Sometimes something down deep, and it keeps flaring up, and you keep remembering those things in your past, things that you're dealing with, and that can ruin your mood. Because we sometimes we disappoint ourselves, right? But you know what? The Bible tells us how to deal with each of these factors that can derail us from having our joy and ruining our countenance, right? Still keeping our joy. Because even though someone does you wrong, or you're mad at someone, or have anger, disappointment, you're still supposed to love those people as yourself, right? Forgiveness. I mean, everyone in here has been done wrong by someone else, and you've had a chance to forgive. You got to walk in that forgiveness. It's something that you choose to do. Doesn't always feel like you are walking in forgiveness, but it's something that you choose to do. Jesus said, be of good cheer. You be of good cheer. You know, make it a decision for yourself to walk in forgiveness. And then if you're dealing with regret from the past, or things you've done in the past that you just keep reminding yourself and just think, I'm not good enough. I'll never be able to do this because of this that happened in my past, or what someone told you, said in your past. Think about Paul. Paul used to be Saul. Have you read that? Yes. He used to be Saul. You think he had a past? Oh, yes. He had a past, right? I mean, he was like the chief persecutor and the chief killer of Christians. Yes. And then he goes on to be the greatest Christian, right? I mean, in writing all the books of the New Testament. And because Paul said, I press toward the high call and I forget those things in the past. Right? He chose to forget that. You think that God just wiped his memory? No. I don't think so. I think he made a decision. I think he had to constantly make that decision as well. And we've got to do the same. We're going to keep our joy and keep our countenance where it needs to be. Don't let your past wrong decisions derail your future. And I want to tell you something here. This is something that really sparked me when I wrote that down. Ladies, it doesn't matter what your age is. You still have a future. You still have a future. I don't care if next year you're going to heaven. You still have a future. You still have a future. You still have a purpose. It doesn't matter what your age is. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how broken down you feel. It doesn't matter if you feel like I'm past my prime. It doesn't matter. You still have a future. You still have a purpose to fulfill here. Stacy and I, we still send our boys over to Ron and Fran's house and my mom and dad's house once a week. One thing, they feed them, okay? But more importantly, they can impart things into my kids at their age. They can impart things into my kids that I will never be able to put in them. Okay? That is probably your future. You probably have people in your family that you can impart things into that their parents or other people will never be able to impart into them. Okay, that is a big part of your purpose, especially when you get, you know, up in years. You have a lot of wisdom. You have a lot of wisdom to share. So once again, Jesus knew he's going to face all these moods, all these emotions, all these situations. He has zero sympathy. He said, be of good cheer. You be a good cheer, right? I've overcome the world. He knows the end. He knows the end. We all know the end. We just got to remind ourselves, right? Jesus faced all the persecution, all those people that tried to take him down. And even his closest friends. I mean, think about Peter. The closest people to him. And Jesus told him, no, you're going to deny me. And it won't even be 24 hours. And Peter's like, no, there is no way that's going to happen. No way that's going to happen. Even the closest people to him. Jesus didn't hold it against him. Paul dealt with the regret from his past. Don't you, golly, can you imagine dealing with the regret? I mean, he had to look back on his life and be like, what in the world did I do? I cannot believe I did this. I mean, I could just see him begging forgiveness of Christians and people that he knew. I mean, you know, the Bible doesn't say that, but wouldn't you do that if you came across someone that you knew you had persecuted and maybe killed their family members and you saw them again and you had a transformation? I mean, wouldn't you just beg for forgiveness from them? Golly. Still, he went on. But isn't that just like God, though? Look down at Saul and be like, that one, that one. That's the one I want. And Jesus was like, what? That guy? You know, I mean, think about that. That's just like God, you know? You can still be used by God, too. You know? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what you've gone through. You can still, you just got to be open and willing. And got to be a vessel, ready to be used. I'll ask you again, what happened? What happened? I want you to identify those things. What happened in your past? What's happening that makes your countenance fall? That brings your countenance down? Maybe it was a friend that betrayed your trust. Maybe when you were little, someone said something to you. It could have been a parent, could have been a family member, someone you trusted, could have been a teacher. They labeled you as something. And you hear that in your mind every now and then, that thought comes back up. No, I was labeled as that. That's what they told me I was. That's what people, as people see me. You have no idea how people see you. Maybe you had a relationship that didn't work out. That wasn't God's will. That wasn't God's will. Don't hold that against yourself. Maybe you suffered a loss of a loved one. That wasn't God's will. And I know you probably know that, but you have to remind yourself, that wasn't the plan of God. Maybe the doctor diagnosed you with something, and now that's you're thinking, that's just how I am. That's how I'm going to have to manage this. I'm going to manage this, whatever ailment that's going on. Now I got to manage this. Now you see yourself as a manager of an ailment. You know, that's not God's will. Keep fighting. Keep fighting. Keep winning. So let's go on now that we talked about all the things that make us mad and sad, and let's get on to how do we keep a joyful countenance. Okay, so we'll go to Exodus 34, verse 27, and we'll talk about keeping a joyful countenance. There's numerous ways to do this, but there's like one, two, or three here that I will go through. We're going to talk about Moses and, you know, his encounters with the Lord right around the time they were doing the Ten Commandments and Mount Sinai and Children of Israel and all that. So we'll read a little bit here. So Exodus 34, verse 27, and the Lord said to Moses, write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. And he was there with the Lord 40 days, 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant. Did I write the right? Exodus 34, verse 27. Everybody there? Exodus 34, verse 27. Okay, all right. Kim, don't derail me here. Exodus 34, verse 27. Yep. Okay. And then verse 29, it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone. And they were afraid to come nigh him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward, all the children of Israel came nigh, and he came, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And Moses had done, and until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he saw, and he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he commanded. Verse 35, the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, and the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with them. I mean, Moses, it was just like the glory of the Lord on Moses' countenance, his face. That word face actually means countenance. If you keep his presence, you'll keep your countenance. Keep his presence and you'll keep your countenance. Keep his presence and you'll keep your countenance. And when you have consistent fellowship with the Lord, you can't help but shine, right? So a lot of times when we get derailed from our joy, it's just lack of fellowship with the Lord, really. But if we're consistent with our fellowship, then we're constantly shining for Jesus. I mean, you read through this passage, not just in what we just read here, but earlier and after, how many times Moses came back to the people, went back to the Lord, went to the tent, went up on the mount, left the congregation, went to the tent. He was constantly going back, hearing from the Lord, coming back to the people, so on and so forth, all right? It was a constant thing that he was doing. And this is one of the reasons also why church attendance is so important. Because when you get around other believers, you get encouraged, right? You see other people, you know, other believers, and you get recharged about serving the Lord. And I mean, there's been so many countless services, you know, even probably this morning, you know, that I didn't want to come to service, and just naturally, you know, I wake up thinking, I'm going to church, yay, you know. I don't just jump out of bed thinking that a lot of times, but I always do, and I've never regretted coming to a church service. Have you ever left here and just, man, wish I wouldn't have been there for that church service? I hope you haven't experienced that, but maybe this morning, yeah. I hope they don't bring him back. But I've never regretted being here, and I've never felt worse whenever I left a church service. Just seeing other believers, seeing you, being encouraged, right? That's why it's so important to be here, to make yourself do it. Always leave feeling better and have more joy than when I came. So remember how people were the reason that you can get down and get in a bad mood? Okay. People can also be, and that's where we come in encouraging each other. People can also be the reason you keep your joyful countenance. So that's why we need to be speaking encouraging words to other people, you know, greeting them, you know, sharing love of Jesus with them, you know, just encouraging them. If you know what they're going through, encouraging them, tell them, you can do it. You know, I'm praying for you. Can I pray for you? That's why being in church and just getting around people, and then we can speak to other people and encourage other believers, okay? People are not just a reason that's going to bring you down. People can bring you up, right? Over in Proverbs 12, verse 25, Kim, that's Proverbs 12, verse 25. In the NIV, I'm sorry. This is an NIV, okay? Anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. You can speak a kind word to people. You can greet them and smile and show them your lovely countenance and encourage them to do the same, right? Have you ever heard someone say or tell you, keep your head up? Have you ever played sports or been in athletics or anything like that, then you hear that a lot, you know, from coaches especially. Keep your head up. Why in the world? Where did that saying come from? Keep your head up. because when you're down, your head tends to go down, right? Your shoulders tend to slump, you know? But they say, keep your head up, keep your head up, keep your head up. Keep moving forward, you know? Have a positive attitude, right? I mean, why would they say, why wouldn't they say, keep your head forward or keep your head level? Right? No, they want you to keep your head up, okay? Stay up, stay up, stay positive in what you're doing, right? Same thing with your countenance. And then also, thinking about your countenance and exuding that joy, I'm not talking about being some sort of fake person, okay? I'm talking about being in faith, right? Because you can think, well, this is not how I feel, so this is not how I should look, or this, you know, I shouldn't look happy because I'm not happy, right? But you can be happy and joyful in faith, right? Doesn't mean you're denying what exists, okay? But when you have God's joy, that will light up your countenance. And then also praising God. That's another thing about church, you know. We should be praising at home as well and in your private time. But can you really just sing a praise song and not be happy? I mean, if you just keep praising, keep singing, you're gonna have some joy, you know. You're gonna have some joy. Everybody has their own song that they like to sing, their go-to song when it comes to, you know, getting your joy back up. Go to that song, you know, just go back to that song and keep your joy up. So presence of the Lord, keep his presence, you'll keep your countenance. Right? Stay in your church attendance regular, getting around other believers. That will keep your joy up. That will keep your countenance, right? Praising God, that will keep your countenance as well. Okay, those are the things that will keep your countenance. But if you wrote something down, I just want to take just a moment here and just minister a couple things. If you wrote something down that brings your countenance down, okay? Everybody just close your eyes real quick. I think the Holy Spirit wants to minister something, but think about that thing. What is that thing that always brings you down and makes you angry, makes you anxious, makes you worried, makes you have regret, that diminishes your joy and brings fear into your life? Think about that thing. Everybody's probably got one thing typically that tries to rear its head every now and then. Think about that one thing. There is a promise in the Bible that will remove that from your life. There is a promise in the Bible. You find that promise. You find that promise. If it's unforgiveness, then you know that God has instructed us and taught us how to forgive people and walk in unforgiveness. Use that promise. Use that, the Word of God, to deal with that and uproot that in your life. It doesn't have to keep you down. It doesn't have to diminish your joy. If it's regret from past decisions, think about Paul. Think about his life. Think about all the things in his life that he regretted. And still, he pressed toward. He forgot those things in his past. You can be just like him. You can do that. And that will bring the countenance back and the joy back in your life. You know, get closer to the Lord, because we know that whenever we draw near to him, he draws near to us. Spend extra time hearing the word. Spend extra time in your Bible. Spend extra time in worship and praise. Get closer to him, and he will draw near to you, and you'll experience his presence more and more in your life. So whatever that thing is, if you wrote it down, I want you just to mark it out real big. Mark it out real big. Just mark it out. Because from this day forward, you're walking free of that. You're walking free of that. Scratch it out. That's not going to hold you back any longer. Amen? That's not going to hold you back any longer. You're going to walk in joy. Your countenance, you're going to be happy, and you're going to know it, and your face will surely show it. Amen? All right, let me pray over you. We'll be dismissed. Lord, we thank you for these ladies and their dedication to hear your word, Father. Just thank you for just blessings, Father, in their week. Father, just this word that you spoke to us today, just seal it in our hearts, Father. Make it a root in our hearts today. Make it a root in our hearts that will grow and spring up and produce in our life, Father. And we thank you, Father, that we're not looking in the past. We're looking forward. We're moving forward just like Paul, forgetting those things in the past, pressing toward our high call, because we know, Father, you have a purpose. Doesn't matter what age we are, you still have a purpose for us. We still have a future, and we're going to walk into the fullness of the calling that you have on our life. Amen.